Hey, what's going on, guys? My name's Caleb. Welcome back to another podcast. Welcome to A-Chip Podcast Season 1, Episode 4. First of all, I hope the quality's better. The last couple episodes, I have not been using a mic, and I just wanted to point that across. And I do not have the turtle tank in my room anymore. So I'm hoping audio quality sounds a little bit better. Again, I will be improving it over the next couple weeks. So just bear with me. And today's going to be a very interesting episode. I have a couple points I want to put across. As you guys know, the usual, we're going to be talking about a topic for about 10 minutes each, or 15. And besides that, also, if you want to be part of these podcasts, and I will be uploading a YouTube video later, follow me, subscribe to me on my YouTube channel where I do videos there. And if you want to be part of this podcast, message me on Instagram and Twitter. On Twitter is iCalebSin46, and on Instagram is iCalebSin46. So message me there if you want to be part of the podcast, and we will fit you right in. So with that out of the way, before we get started, thank you for everyone for, you know, enjoying these podcasts and actually, you know, listening to them. And with that, we're going to get started. So the first thing we're going to be talking about is the Surface Go. Now, the Surface, I don't know what a lot of people know, but Chromebooks have been a thing for a long time. And essentially what they are is they're low-powered computers, and Chromebooks have Chrome OS and stuff like that. With the recent year of Chrome OS being part of the marketing, you know, more people buying them, Chrome OS has actually developed a lot of features I like. For example, the search bar is pretty easy, and it's a very simple dead-on device to use. Not to mention that if you do want to do gaming and, you know, some other stuff, they actually have the Google Play Store on there, which I think is a really nice touch of using the Chromebook, because, you know, you get all the benefits of a tablet and of Android, and you get all the benefits of having a laptop and a keyboard. That's my opinion, though. But Microsoft, let me go first. Chromebooks sell very well in schools, and I'm actually going to a new school with Chromebooks, so I will be actually testing out a Chromebook. I will be doing a review on it, just about the software. But the Microsoft, they're very popular in schools. Chromebooks are very popular in schools. And so Microsoft decided to fight back with them with the Surface Go. Now, the Surface Go, I'll be just going on the Microsoft website right now. Microsoft Surface Go. Sorry for the keyboard. I just type. It's my keyboard's very loud. But the Surface Go starts at about $400, and it is a very, I'm not gonna think it sells well. First of all, let's be honest here. If we're talking about how schools can afford, you know, when schools buy technology, they buy, you know, a huge amount of them, and then they use them for like 5-6 years, and they replace them. That's a cool thing. But with the Surface Go, it's kind of like buying an iPad. But it's like buying the 2018 iPad, but has Windows and is more expensive. So, for example, if you put on, let's say 2018 iPad. Let me write this down right now, right? I have a back of the paper. Yeah, I got it. So if you count the 2018 iPad, which starts at about $300 for the $300 for the iPad. That's for schools. If you're paying it with just normal retail, it's $329. If you pay for that plus the keyboard, which is $99, which you can get, I think the, or if you pay for the Apple Pencil or the Logitech keyboard that is made for it, you're spending about $400. That's total. Now, on the other hand, for the Surface Go, outright, you're spending $400. Not to mention, you have to spend another $100 on the keyboard, plus another $100 on the pen. And it really makes me kind of frustrated because, you know, Microsoft's trying to fight back with these, you know, tablets, these, you know, computers that are super cheap and stuff like that. But I think that Google, even though I'm not a huge fan of Google, I use a Google Home Mini, that's the only thing I like from Google, really. But even though I'm not a huge fan of Google, I can at least say what they're trying to do with the Chromebook market is actually pretty good. You know, you can get a decent Chromebook for $150, $200, which is a crazy deal to get a Chromebook for. And even paying $400, when you have a computer like this, this isn't meant to be a computer. It's supposed to like, you know, have a keyboard and mouse, because Windows, let's be honest here, yeah, it's cool that, you know, laptops have touch screens, but that's because they already have a keyboard and a mouse installed, or a trackpad. But Windows by itself, if you're just going to buy a bunch of these for $400, and you're not going to buy anything else, because let's say your budget's that for a school, let's say the budget's $12,000, so you're going to spend like four or five of these. I don't know, freaking math is just summertime. But let's say you're going to spend four or five of these, and you're going to just buy them. The problem with getting it just by itself is you're only getting the tablet. And for the same price, you get an iPad, which, one, is going to last better on software updates. Second of all, it's easier to monitor. And third of all, you're not going to have, you're basically, it's cheaper. It's way cheaper. Even with getting, if you say you max out everything, let's say you get the Surface Go with the cover, the type cover, and the Surface Pen, and then you get the iPad with the, what is it, the freaking Apple Pencil and the Logitech keyboard that comes with it, you're still paying less with the iPad than you are paying with the Surface. Now, I could say maybe, you know, it'd be powerful, maybe, and for this price point, it has decent specs, so I'll be listing the specs here right now. It runs a Intel Pentium Gold processor, which is, apparently, if we want to go really into it, it's a 4415Y, an Intel 4415Y. It has 4 gigabytes of RAM, or up to 8 gigabytes of RAM, and it has a 64 gigabyte SSD, which you can pay for the highest model, which is 8 gigs of RAM and 128 gigs. First of all, it's just, this is gonna be, if schools want to do, you know, tasks on this, I guess it's gonna be okay for basic tasks, but I'm really not seeing the purpose of the I'm not really seeing the purpose of this, because, you know, most schools now use Chromebooks for a reason. They're super cheap. They're $100, $200. A lot of schools use iPads because, you know, with Apple releasing this new iPad, which they give a discount already, and they say, $300. There you go, iPad. Cool. Like, you are paying way less, and you're not sacrificing that much. Yeah, you want, like, a professional operating system, which, let me get to that in a second, because apparently, this does not come with normal Windows. It comes with a version of Windows called Windows 10S. And if you don't know what Windows 10S is, it's like a children's version of Windows 10, which means you can only use the Edge browser, which means you can only download the apps from the Windows Store. And I find this dumb because, you know, they're trying to make this as a professional laptop, and you can do so many things on this compared to iPads and Chromebooks and stuff. But with the restriction that you already have, one, if we're talking about Windows Store versus Google Play Store on the Chromebook, Google Play Store has got way more apps for you to get. And if we're comparing it to the iPad, it's iPad beats Windows hands-on. So, sorry, I just burped. But, like, if we're just comparing, like, what you're sacrificing, you're really not sacrificing anything with a Chromebook and an iPad. Because this device is, you know, trying to be a school device, and it makes a lot of sacrifices, you know. And overall, I don't really see the purpose of it. It's what would you rather buy? I'd rather buy a $400 tablet that you want, you know, you think that you can do stuff on, and then realize you can't. And maybe the app that maybe a teacher is looking for, or maybe that the school is looking for, is not on the Windows Store. It'll probably be on the Google Play Store and on the App Store, because, you know, not a lot of developers or app developers actually, you know, develop apps for the Windows Store. Like, I've used a couple Windows laptops in the past, and just comparing them, like, I don't know. It really doesn't make sense, and like I said, app developers don't develop their apps for Windows as much, so, like, there's no, like, this, and there's no that. So apps like Edmodo, Blackboard, all these apps, they're probably not on the Windows Store, or apps that, you know, the school's wanting on these devices, and they don't get it. And therefore, you know, it's not good. And the other thing too is because I know schools like to monitor, you know, how, you know, like the Wi-Fi and what the kids are doing, and that's fine and all, sorry. But they want to monitor like what the kids are doing and stuff like that, and that's fine, and I get that. But since you can't download anything off of that unless you pay another $100 for, you know, the real version of Windows, then you're just paying for a low-powered Windows laptop, and you could have just gotten a really cheaper Windows laptop or a Chromebook or an iPad. Just overall, the situation that I see with the Surface Go is it's not going to be a hit. I don't think it's going to sell well. Because for professionals, it doesn't have the processing power. For students and for teachers and, you know, for schools, it lacks a lot of things. And I just don't see the purpose of it. So with that, we've about hit the first mark in the podcast. So I will be moving on to the next topic right now. Let me just get this up right now. So the second topic we're going to be talking about is the Essential Phone. So if a lot of you don't know, the Essential Phone is the phone that really never got that good. So it was by Andy Rubin, who was the owner and founder of the Android, or one of the founders of Android. And he decided to make a phone that would be stock Android and, you know, perfect and just wonderful and great. Great. I think it was a good phone. And for $700... you know, it was a decent phone. It had an all bezel-less display. The display was great. The build was amazing, in my opinion. It looks great. The problem with it was the camera, and I think it was mainly just the camera. Let me go down here right now. And apparently it was the camera that wasn't that good, and for the price, people got mad. Because, it was apparently not as good as the other devices. Right now, if you want to actually pick it up, it's about $399, which really, for a $400 phone, beats a lot of other phones. The really bad thing I can only say about it now is the camera. And at this point, here's the thing. All cameras can do good. And it's all about the light, how you get it, and all these YouTubers, and it's not a hate comment towards them. It's not saying, like, what they're saying is wrong, and they're right. Some cameras perform better in other situations, but if you're just a basic, like, photo taker, and you just want to take a picture of something and don't care about the quality that much, this phone's going to fit you perfectly. But the phone's going to fit you perfectly. You're not going to be bothered with it. Now, it only sold 150,000 units of the smartphone, and it was only available in the U.S., and it's only available in the U.S., but apparently it is going to be canceled. So for people that think that the Essential Phone 2 is going to happen, you are sadly mistaken, and I'm really torn about this. Andy Rubin put in, let me go back up and scroll this back up. It says, according to company's insiders, Essential is reportedly working on a smart speaker to debut sometime this year. Today, an email sent by no other than Andy Rubin itself got leaked. This email had been sent to some company employees telling them, "We are not shutting down the company." Rubin continues saying that Essential will be working with banks to shore up the company's financing, but also added that the company could be sold as part of a financial deal. Lastly, but not least, to the Android father mentioned that all those leaks and speculations will make it harder for a company to make decent deals with the banks. However, he pointed, "I'm going to focus on winning and not whining." And then, he said, let's see, let me go down. "Currently is unclear with the fate of Essential. We just hope that the company doesn't stop its business. Even though you don't consider the Essential Phone a jaw-dropping smartphone, it has some good sides, like the good support, open-source nature, and a unique design. We're just hoping for a successful with the issues addressed, and we can't hold to breathe for another one." But apparently, what I checked later, is that he said that the Essential Phone 2 is gone, and that the company's going to focus on making a smart speaker, making smart devices. And I'm really sad to say this from a company because, you know, Essentially, as a company, did something that was very unique. They didn't copy anyone. Really, the design is great. They didn't copy anyone. They tried making a phone. And a first phone's not always perfect. You know, not the iPhone, not the first Android. It wasn't perfect. And I can say from a standpoint, I'm kind of disappointed that Andy Rubin decided to quit with this project of, you know, making the Essential Phone 2. But I don't think they should quit. I think that if they could, maybe here's the thing. Maybe they should make it as a budget device. Okay, OnePlus 6 is OnePlus. Why did I say OnePlus 6? OnePlus is a decent company. This is kind of an example. OnePlus is a good company that sells decent phones for a decent price. And I think that they thought that with the build and the design and everything, they could just stack up the price to $649, $699 for the Essential phone. And with the camera, it should have been more like a $500, $600 phone. Early $600 phone. And I think that quitting this it's not, because we all know this year that most phones are coming with notches. The LG G7 Thin Q came with a notch, I think. Is it out? I think it is out. Samsung's the last company that hasn't done that yet. And you could say, like, you know, Essential didn't. No, they didn't. They just put a thing for the camera and hit all the other stuff on this. Like, I think it was the top kind of middle part. But no matter, Essential had a very unique design and unique approach to Android. You know, the software and the hardware was built together. The only problem was the camera. If the camera didn't suck so bad, I think that this phone would have been good. And it wasn't the hardware, because the hardware is fine. And if you actually know this, if you watch Mr. Mobile, did I say that right? I think I did. But if you watch him, actually, he talks about you can download a side app called Google Camera, and it actually fixes a lot of the pictures. And that kind of just shows that this was a software thing, not a hardware thing. And just because that happened, they could improve it with software. I don't know how it is in 2018, but it's just, like, I really like the Essential phone. I'm not a huge fan of Android. We know that. I use a Fire tablet, but it's not really Android. But after looking at the Essential phone and seeing it, I really would have not mind using one. I really wouldn't. But I'm really sad that this is happening to Essential, just because as a company, you can't give up. You know, the Apple never gave up, Samsung never gave up, and now they're making great phones and great things. Everyone makes mistakes, and I get from a financial standpoint it would be hard to gain back, and that's why they're quitting it, because of how much money they lost. I just think that they should not have went so far with the Essential phone. And what I mean by that is, yeah, ceramic's cool and all, and it's a great build, and it's a great body of the phone, but I don't think you should have went that far, because it would have been better as a company to play the safer route, see how your phone does, and then improve it from there. For example, the iPhone didn't go glass back, first design, make everything great. The iPhone 2, I think, yeah, the first ever iPhone, didn't have certain features, and it sold well, yeah, really well, but they had to, you know, fix a lot of things, and they developed it as they go. They didn't go full out and make, whoa, big phone. No, they took the time, and they developed the phone over time, and, you know, fixed a lot of issues with them, like, with their new phones. And essentially, I don't think looked at that part of the situation and just kind of thought, well, if we release a $600, $700 phone that looks great and has great software, it's fine. And they kind of realized that, yeah, it's a great phone, it looks cool, but after all the things that went down with that phone, I don't think it did that. It didn't do well. And as a company, like I said, I'm just very sad that they have to, you know, deal with this. I don't think any company should have to deal with a problem like this, especially something that could have been fixed so easily, something that could have been fixed in literally 2 to 3 minutes. And I don't know, it just makes me kind of mad, because it's like, as a company, they kind of screwed it up, and that's just me. As a phone, though, I like it. If the camera wasn't so bad, and a couple other problems weren't, you know, on there, or if they were resolved, this phone would have done a lot better. And with that, we're going to be moving on to our last topic of the day. This topic is kind of very special to me. It's about the Nintendo 3DS. Now, the Nintendo 3DS, I have one right here, the new 3DS. This is the Japan exclusive one. And I've been using it. I use it pretty much all the time. And with the recent news of the Switch and, you know, the Switch coming out, I actually do have a Switch as well. I still look at myself playing my 3DS all the time. Now, this is revolve around tech because I'm talking about 3DS. Chill, because some people were telling me that, you know, you're talking about this and it doesn't count as tech. It counts as tech. If it's electronic, it counts as tech. But back to my point. I use a 3DS a lot, and I've noticed that a little bit, I kind of transfer more to the Switch a little bit, and it's kind of sad to think that the 3DS is kind of being left behind, because everyone's so pumped now for the new games coming out for the Switch, and everyone's just kind of, like, not looking at the 3DS. I'm a very heavy Pokemon user, and I play Pokemon a lot. I mean a lot. And I really don't want it on the Switch. And It's for multiple aspects why I think this way, but I think the main reason why I think this way is because it really wouldn't be that good on the Switch. Let's go Pikachu and let's go Eevee. We're going to see how it turns out then, but for a Pokemon game is supposed to be portable with you on the go. I don't care what people say. I cannot fit, unless you have some super deep pockets, you cannot fit a Nintendo Switch comfortably. I'm too tired, this is like 12 a.m. when we're recording this. You can't fit that in your pants comfortably. Fucking hell. You know what? Sorry for the cussing. I'm just going to say you can't fit it in there decently, and it's not going to feel good. Whew! But you can't fit in good. You can't, and with the Joy-Cons, it's not even going to fit in your pocket. So, and on the other hand, the 3DS is compact. Yeah, thick, but it's compact like a phone. You just put it in there. Bang, open it up, it protects the screen, it's protected, you're fine, you're good. And with, you know, Nintendo being like, yeah, the Nintendo 3 is still gonna stay, barely any games are coming out for it, and they're saying that the Gen 9 Pokemon game is gonna be on the Switch. Most people who buy, you know, a Nintendo 3DS, buy it for Pokemon. Maybe Fire Emblem, maybe those other games, which are cool and all. But most people buy a Nintendo 3DS for Pokemon. And if Pokemon gets off the 3DS, they're going to lose sales dramatically. And with that, because they're focusing all their attention on this Nintendo Switch, and they're going to be like, well, we're going to do it. And what I would like to see from them doing this is, most people are telling me, my brother told me this the other day, he was like, I don't think they'll cancel, they get their sales too much from it, which is partly true, but Pokemon is the main reason why it's on the 3DS. More people play Pokemon than Mario and a lot of other games, and it's just sad that barely any of these games are getting updates or just anything on the Nintendo 3DS. For example, I play Super Smash Bros. A lot. The Wi-Fi servers haven't been updated, nothing's been updated. Pokemon Ultra Sun, Ultra Moon, it's going to be gone soon, and the servers are going to shut down. And I don't think Nintendo's caring about the market that, you know, we don't want to spend $300 on a tablet that we can't even take with us on the go. And, like, the part of Nintendo started their roots off the Game Boy. And they built that Game Boy into, you know, the Game Boy Color, then the Game Boy Advance, then the DS, then the DSi, then the DSi XL, then the 3DS, and the new 3DS XL. They built this entire thing off being a portable system. And doing it. Like, yeah, the NES sold, but not as well as the Game Boy. And it honestly makes me sad that they're going to consider leaving the 3DS. Because, yeah, it may run better, but here's the thing. If you really want your games to run better, okay, most people say this right now. They say this that, you know, the Nintendo Switch has a better processor, better RAM, it's going to run games better, it runs in 1080p. The screen is so small on the, I have the normal, like I said, the new 3DS, not the new 3DS XL, but the screen isn't even, it's 3.5 inches. I think it's a 600 display or 720, or like just close up to HD. You can't notice the pixels on the display unless you hold it up close, or to a camera. You can't notice it, so it's not that big of a deal. Second of all, if you want your, you know, your thing to stay alive and run it better, then release a new thing. I would rather actually, I would go out instead of getting a Switch, or I would sell my Switch if they came out with a new 3DS, because as long as they, like, if they're talking about how the 3DS can't handle, you know, doing this anymore, phone manufacturers have figured out how to make stronger and better performing phones every year. Nintendo can do the same. And it's crazy that they're like, they're saying, well, the Switch is more popular because more people are buying it for some reason. More people, one, have bought the 3DS in third and fourth quarter of their sales. So, it's crazy great. And the 3DS is, I think, canceled, but the 2DS is still out there. And they're just, I think what they're doing now as a company is they're trying to just get the last of people buying it. And then they're going to be like, nope, sorry, canceled. And it's really going to piss me off. Because, you know, I've been a Nintendo fan for my entire life. I had a Game Boy SP, I had a Nintendo DS, and then a DSi, then a DS Lite, I think. And then I had a 2DS, and then I had my new 3DS. And it's just super sad to see the Nintendo 3DS line go. Because, yeah, it's fine playing games on your Switch, and I have it right now with me. It's fine playing games on your Switch. But it's never going to be as good as playing it on... You can't... It really pissed me off to say that, like, people are saying, you know, the Nintendo Switch is portable. For it to be portable, you have to take it with you on the go, like a phone is. A phone you can fit in your pocket. A phone you can put in your pocket or your back pocket and not worry about it breaking or being damaged, and you're fine. You can't do that with the Switch. Most tablets, you can't do that unless you have, like, a 7-inch tablet, which... Even with the Joy-Cons, it's going to be too bulky. You barely would be able to move. I've tried it on deep pockets. It does not work. But it really just makes me sad that the Nintendo line's 3DS line is just coming to an end. Barely any games are coming out for it. And it just makes me sad because people are not remembering the fact that this was, like, this Nintendo started their base off... What is it? Portable systems. For example, let me go check this up right now. I don't know if my keyboard will work because Bluetooth always messes with me. I'm just going to check this up right now. Sorry about this. When did the Nintendo Game Boy come out? Okay, but we're going to check this up right now just because I just like checking stuff up. It came up on April 21st, 1899 or 89. So let me just say it again. The Game Boy, the original Game Boy, came out on April 21st, 1989. Now we're going to check up when did the NES come out. Now I'm assuming it came out maybe a little older. Let's see. Okay, 1983. Now we're going to check this up then. I love how you guys can't see this. Let's see. When did... Oh, wait. What... sold more, the NES or Game Boy? Okay. Let's see here. List of best-selling consoles. Let's go to here, and we're going to just check this up right now. But overall, if you're talking about what really started off the company, it was really, what was it? It was really the, here we go. The Nintendo SNES in 1983 sold 61.91 million copies. The Game Boy, on the other hand, sold around 118.69 million, you know, sold. And it's crazy to think that people are like, no, the Nintendo Switch is better. It's really not. And I've used the Nintendo Switch. It's cool and all. It's cool using it. But one, I barely play it on the TV. So the TV thing's useless. And it's not comfortable. I don't care what people say. I don't want to be going out buying a grip. A Nintendo 3DS, you open it up. You can lay with it in bed. You can just turn it. It's perfect because it's small enough. It's compact enough. It's perfect to use on the go. In your car, it's perfect because it doesn't take up room. You don't have to place it somewhere to play with two-player, and it's perfect. It's, I would say, the best device Nintendo's ever come out with. And the Nintendo Switch is just decent. It's not great. Most of the games require you to have Wi-Fi. It's too bulky. It's too big. It's just... Nintendo's trying to say that this is a portable and it can be a 3-in-1 or something like that. But it's the same thing with, like, 3-in-1 laptops. They may be 3-in-1s, but they're not going to be as good as the normal, regular, non-3-in-1 things. But I just would like to know your guys' opinion. With that, we're going to be ending off the episode here. This has actually been a kind of weird episode for me. Like I said, first thing first, we're just going to go over our last few things before we end the podcast. First thing, I really do appreciate you guys checking out the podcast. I really do appreciate it because it helps me, and I do really appreciate that. Also, like I said at the beginning of the video, if you guys want to join the HIP podcast, I'll have it linked down below my links to stuff. So if you want to check it out, check it out, and you guys can follow me on Twitter and DM me or just call me or text me. I'll give my number. I don't care. But you guys can just be like, hey, I want to join. I'll be like, okay. And we can fit 4 or 5 people in here. So with that, I'm just going to be ending off the podcast. I hope you guys enjoyed the video. When I say video, I said podcast. I hope you guys enjoyed the podcast. Thank you all so much for checking this out. And I'll see you in the next episode. Bye.